My dad, Pastor Salem, dearly loved comforting people all over the world through God's Word. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and the second in a series of broadcasts devoted to the Bible, the Holy Word of God. A viewer in North Carolina recently wrote to us saying, "I love Pastor Salem's preaching because it is real and straight from the Bible." Another viewer in Oklahoma expressed, "I have listened to Pastor Salem for quite some time now. His preaching and delivery is no theatrical dramatics, just simple Bible truths straight from the Word of God." We truly appreciate your letters to us. We read every one. Now let's join Pastor Salem delivering the message, "The Bible and Archaeology." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy to be with you today, and we just want to thank you for opening your doors and inviting us in. And we're going to have a great service together. And today we're going to be talking about the Bible. All this month we have sermons on why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about how we believe the Bible is the Word of God because archaeology verifies it. And you'll be excited when you hear all the archaeological finds, and they all substantiate the Bible perfectly. But before that, let's look at Psalm chapter 119, the opening verses. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Heavenly Father, we want to keep your statutes. We want to trust your dear Son. We want to obey your commands and your teachings. We want to live a holy life for you, and we know that as we do that, Lord, you will bless and help us. And we know, Lord, a lot of times we fail, and we're just so thankful that when we fail, you promised us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and though we fail, you'll always forgive us and always help us. And someday, when we cross over and we're with you, there'll be no more temptation, no more sin. So we love you, Lord. Bless this service. Bless everyone who worships with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song, and it's entitled "Mother's Bible." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
There's a book that Mother left me that grows sweeter every day. I have often read the pages since my mother passed away. When I was just a baby boy, I would sit upon her knee. Mother looked just like an angel when she read that book to me. Mother's Bible, with the covers worn and old, Mother's Bible, worth much more to me than gold. And she told me, as she told me just before she went to sleep, if I read it and believe it, Jesus, then my soul would keep. Now my mother's gone to heaven, and sometimes I feel so sad. Then I get Mother's Bible that she left for me and Dad. Though the years there may be changes, but one change there'll never be. It's that old and faded Bible that my mother left for me. Mother's Bible, with the covers worn and old, Mother's Bible, worth much more to me than gold. And she told me, yes, she told me just before she went to sleep, if I read it and believe it, Jesus, then
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And while you're singing that, I'm thinking of my mother. She's gone to be with the Lord now since 1990. But oh, she loved that Bible. And she had five children, four boys and a girl. Boy, she read that Bible to us. My earliest recollections is going to bed and my mother there. She'd read us a Bible story. She'd have a little prayer. And she'd give us a kiss. That was my mother. And we've got the same Bible, that Holy Bible. And oh, what a blessing. And oh, what a help it is. Not only just to come to know Jesus, but to follow him and to live that life that's pleasing in his sight. So we're going to be talking about the Bible and archaeology today. So I hope you'll just stay tuned with us. But we want to read some letters, and we're just so thankful for all of you who have written. And we read every letter you write to us. And if you send as a question about something spiritual, we'll answer it. If you send in something, you're trying to persuade us to believe something you believe and we think you're off base, we just let that go because you're not going to change. We're not going to change. But if you're searching, you're looking, we'll answer every letter and we'll send you scripture to help us. And we put out a lot of letters, believe me. But let's share some that we get from you, and we're so happy to get them. And here's one from Hudson, Wisconsin. Praise the Lord with song and instruments. Did you hear my shout to heaven? I found an envelope of money that I now remember hiding over a year ago, never mind where. And it was lost and it is now found. I'm enclosing some of the for the ministry so that I enjoy because of the grace of God in this life. It's long but still useful. And so isn't that good? Well, maybe all of you could kind of look around. Maybe you hid some money. I know I didn't hide any money, but you maybe have a whole stash of it there. And wouldn't that be something, you find that money and help of the preaching the gospel? That's great. Here's St. Joseph, Michigan. How about praying for the country of the United States? We need to come back to God. And you know, every week we pray for another country. And we do pray for the United States, but we should pray for the United States, and we will. But basically, we're praying for countries where Christians are being persecuted, and we're praying for them, and they're giving their lives. And thank God in America we have the liberty to preach and to believe. I don't know, they'll maybe try to take it away from us. But we need to pray for America with all of its abortions. Oh, my God. God is going to deal with this poor country for that terrible sin of causing all of these little children to be taken out of this life. So, yes, pray for the United States. But basically in ours here, we're going to pray for people in countries where Christians are suffering. Here's Tulsa, Oklahoma, a gift for you and our Lord Jesus Christ. You're such a blessing to my sister in assisted living and to countless others. Nevertheless, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so I'm glad they mentioned this, people in assisted living, because there's three things we do, or the three goals, basic goals we have for the Christian worship hour. Goal number one is to glorify God. Glorify God and his son, Jesus Christ. And then the second goal is to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're lost and you're on your way to hell. And we want to turn you around and bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and save your soul. And the third thing is we want to comfort God's people. That's what God told Isaiah. He said, comfort ye my people. And so we have people in assisted livings, and we have people at home, and we have people we get all the time who are lonely, and they're discouraged, and they wonder wonder how these things are going to come out. And so we pray for those who are shut-ins, can't get around. And so we're glad that they noticed that. Here's a letter from Rapid City, South Dakota. And you know, we have a little booklet that we put out on if a Christian commits suicide, can he go to heaven? And the answer is yes, yes indeed. And we've sent out over 1,500 of these people that have written in for this little book. And so this man is commenting on that little booklet. And he says, I'm writing this letter because I think enough is enough about being forgiven for committing suicide. My feeling is that doing so is an act of selfishness and a coward's way of not facing up to the problems of life, from problems such as alcoholism, drugs, or not living within your means. My thoughts are this, that they are not facing reality. They're only thinking of themselves, not of the loved ones they are leaving behind to try to conceive why they would do this. I watch your program every Sunday morning and enjoy it very much. I'm on Social Security, and due to the fact we're not getting a cost of living adjustment, my contributions may become a little less, but my prayers will still be sent to you and your staff, sincerely hoping you'll limit the salvation talk. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, this is a nice letter. I'll tell you why it's a nice letter. This is a brother in Christ. This a man's written this. He's a brother in Christ, and he's sending a gift, and he's praying for this ministry, but he thinks, he's wondering if, because I talk a lot about suicide and give hope for the suicide, that many people will commit suicide that other wouldn't do so. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to tell you why I do it. I do it because it's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. And God tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, he says, cursed are you if you don't preach all that I give you. And pastors, I'm going to tell you, friends, there are a lot of pastors are watering things down, toning things down. They don't talk about suicide. And if they do, they whisper it. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about the wrath of God. They don't talk about judgment. They don't talk about all of these things. They water it down. We can't do that, see. So when God lays it on my heart, I pray before I ever preach anything. And I pray, and God says, you need to tell people there are people that are hurting because a loved one is taken. And that loved one, if he is a Christian and he committed suicide, he's in heaven. Let me tell you something. A suicide doesn't go to hell because he committed suicide. If he goes to hell, it's because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus tells us in John 3 and verse 18? He says, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not a word about drunkenness or drugs or suicide or anything. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? If you have, you're safe. If you haven't accepted him, you're on your way to hell. That's it. So we're not going to change anything. We're going to preach what God wants us to preach. And if we're off base, when he can deal with me when he sees me face to face. But I'll just try and do the best I can. We'll leave it at that. Now here, listen to this. This is a letter from England. And we get letters from all over the world. And this is from West Yorkshire, England. It says, dear pastor and friends, thank you so much for your weekly programs of the Christian Worship Hour. I try to watch every Sunday on my computer, and after hearing of your accident with your leg, I thought I'd mention how through many prayers I was brought home safely after an operation when I broke my femur bone on a cruise ship a few years ago. God bless you all. So here's a lady in London, England, and I think it's London, somewhere in that area, and she broke her femur bone and I broke mine. So see, we're part of a club. It's a special club. Not everybody can get into that club, see? And we have people jealous all the time. They'd like to be a member of that club, but you can't unless you got a broken femur. And so we're kind of special people. But this is really wonderful, all the way from England. And just a few days earlier, we got a letter from Germany. So you folks, and just write to us. Boy, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll tell about your letter, and they'll know about you all over the world. Here's Lamar's, Iowa. I'm 103 years old. Enjoy watching the Christian Worship Hour each Sunday. I'm not able to attend church services. Would you please send me your new song publication? Be easier to follow along if I had information to follow. And so she's talking about the new song, and that's a little publication we put out every month, and it has a Bible study in it, and it has a little all of our sermons and the texts, and so you can look them up and read about them before we preach them, and then you could refer to them later on. And then we have a little Bible study now this month, the month of February. We have, it's entitled, the Bible study is When You Pass Through the Fire. That is when you have hard times, when you go through the swollen rivers and the fires, and you're having troubles and trials, what do you do? And that, it's a little Bible study on that, and I know you'd like it. And I'm going to give you the address right now. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us, we'll send it free and postpaid, and you will just love it. And if you don't, write and tell us you don't like it, and then we won't send it anymore. And take care of that easy. Well, here's a little short one, a couple little short ones. Here's one from Salem, Oregon. Your program renews my soul. Now, how does it do that? Well, it's easy to explain. We preach the Bible. That's all we do is preach the Bible. We don't give our ideas. We don't suppose. We don't guess. We don't get into politics. Lord have mercy, politics. But we preach the Bible. And people are saying, I've heard enough of all of the politicians and all of the rest of it, and the philosophers and the guessers and all of the rest. Is there any word from God? Yes, there is, the Holy Bible. And we preach it. And that's why this soul is renewed. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. One more letter. Sebring, Florida. The Jesus I love, I cannot see, hear, or touch. Yet I know He loves me, and I love Him. Thank you for helping us keep the faith, and may God bless. Isn't that beautiful? I wish I could say that God talked to me. I heard the voice of God talking to me. Boy, would I publicize that, but I never had a vision, and I never heard the voice of the Lord. But just in my heart, I know you ought to preach this, you ought not do this, you ought all that. The Holy Spirit will guide us, but I wish I could say I saw a vision or something, but not yet. But I'll see one when I meet the Lord, and won't that be something? Well, we just want to thank you for writing and sending us, and we thank you for your gifts. I'm going to tell you, friends, we have to have your gifts if we're going to carry on, if we're going to keep this going. And you know what James says, you have not because you ask not. And so if we don't say anything about money, if you talk about money, this is, oh, all he does is talk about money. So then we don't talk about money, and you figure, well, he must have enough. If he needed it, he'd let us know. So see, we don't know how to have. Well, we just have to ask the Holy Spirit what to do and say, Holy Ghost, what do you want me to say? And he says, tell him your needs. So we got needs, and we got big needs, and you need to help us. And I'll tell you another thing you can do. You can send it on this address. I'm giving you the address right now, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you know what you can do? You can send money from anywhere in the world over that internet. You just get on that ChristianWorshipHour.com and it says donate. You punch donate and it'll say PayPal. That means you pay and we'll be your pal. If you don't pay us, we'll still be your pal. But, you know, it'd be nice to have a paid pal, but it's all right just to have a pal. And we'll get money in American money and we'll pay our bills. So you need to help us and just stand by. And remember this, that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That means they check every penny we get. They check all of our receipts. They audit us, and they not only do that, but they see how we spend it. And we don't spend it on jets and fancy homes. We just got, I got one suit is so thin, I can sit on a quarter and I can tell you whether it's heads or tails. So we're just going by the nape of our neck, see? But you need to help us. So you ask the Lord, just ask God, what should I do? And the Lord will tell you, and you do it. So I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you be a PayPal, or just send a gift, whatever you want to do, and we'll praise the Lord, and we'll keep preaching. Heavenly Father, thank you for those over the years Some of them now for over 35 years been giving and helping this ministry. Some of them are new. Now today we'll get some new people. Never sent anything before. I just pray you'll bless every giver and every gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. You add so much to the service when you play those offertories. Somebody said, well, why do you play when you take the offering? And he's just telling them, well, we figure maybe it's a little easier for you to give if there's some nice music. We just try everything we can. Some work, some don't, but that's all right. We're reading from Matthew chapter 24. And in this passage, Jesus is talking about his coming again. And the reason we're using this passage is because we're going to talk about the Bible and the archaeology, how they have everything they discover in history never contradicts the Bible, but only substantiates the Word of God. And Jesus is telling here about his Word will abide forever. And someday at the end of time, he's going to come and time will be no more. And he'll separate the Christian from the non-Christian, the believer from the non-believer. If you've accepted Jesus, you're safe. If you haven't accepted Jesus, you're in danger, terrible danger. Not just losing your life, but losing your soul. So that's what he's talking about. Matthew 24, starting with verse 32. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until these things be fulfilled. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, the Bible, my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what your Lord doth come, and the hour your Lord doth come. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of God. We thank you that it is true, that it'll never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your word will endure forever. And we thank you we can count upon it. And this wonderful word tells us how we can have eternal life, how we can have our names written in the Lamb's book of life, how we can be sure that we are in heaven, that we can know that we're going to heaven because of the dear Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful word. And so it is our prayer today that there'll be multitudes all over the world that will say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll live for you the best I can, Lord. And someday I'll see you face to face, and you'll take me home. And when I die, as we all will do, oh, you'll take us home to that city that St. John said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. All the glorious things God has prepared for those that love him, we will see it, we'll experience it, but we have to have Jesus." And then today, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iran. We know that some of them have given their life. Many of them are given their life. And why were they taken their life? Why were they put to death? Because they did something terrible? No. They were put to death because they said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." And they would not renounce you, Lord, and they paid with their life. Oh, God. And we don't pray for those who died because they're in your presence. They're rejoicing in your presence. But we pray for the mothers and the fathers and the wives and the children left behind. Oh, God, we know that you'll be special to them and you'll help them and you'll carry them through. And someday they'll see you face to face. Oh, God, thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. So now we ask you, Lord, to bless us in this service. May everything we do and say honor Jesus. And may there be multitudes who'll come to you. And may there be multitudes who'll find comfort and strength and hope and joy, all wrapped up in Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. Barb is a song. I know you're going to like it. I just love it. If We Never Meet Again. So God bless you, Barb.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey. We'll never meet anymore till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away from that beautiful shore. If we never meet again this side of struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever. Shall meet by the river where no storm clouds ever darken the sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven in that wonderful sweet by and by. Charming rose. shore.
Well, thank you, Barb. And you know, while she was singing that, I was thinking there are people all over the world that we're worshiping together. And we're not going to see each other in this world, but we're going to meet on that other world and other place, that wonderful place called heaven. And it's all because of Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. And I want to tell you something else. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin, and then you promise to serve him the best you can, that's repentance, and you promise to serve him and to trust him, he'll give you eternal salvation. And I was reading, I get a lot of questions. And you know the questions I'm asked, the one question I'm asked the most, that question is, can a Christian lose their salvation? And you know what I did? I'm just written a little booklet. It's about 10 pages. And it's entitled, Can a Christian Lose His Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. Impossible. And so if you'd like a copy of that, I forgot to mention this. I've just got to tell you about it. It's all Bible. It's all scripture. That if you accept Jesus Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. You can be sure. It gives you assurance. And I want to give the address because you probably want to write. It's about 10 pages long. And you can write to us, and we'll send it free and postpaid. If you could send a gift to help us, that'd be fine, because it costs us to make, print these and to send them. But you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you one in return mail, and it'll give you comfort. Once saved, always saved. You see, that sounds too good to be true? Get the book. Let me know what you think. But today we're talking about the Bible, that wonderful Bible. And the reason I believe the Bible is the Word of God is because, well, one reason he says it is. But another reason is this archaeology. And wherever the archaeologist has worked, it's always proved the Bible to be true. The fact of the claims to be the Word of God is good enough for me. But some people doubt that, and they are all skeptic. He says, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe it's just because God says it. So archaeology is the Bible's friend. It verifies, it substantiates the Bible to be true, and it's done so hundreds of times, not one or two times. We only have today, just have time to do two or three. But there are all kinds. As a matter of fact, there are so many historical facts proven to be true that they have a little book that they put out, and it's called the Evangelical, it's the Archaeological Journal, and it has stories of all of these places where they found things, and it shows that the Bible is the Word of God. And so we have to be very careful when we come to the Bible, because when we talk about the Bible and when we talk about archaeology, what we're really talking about is that it's based on evacuation and decipherment and critical evaluation of things of the past that they found. And some of them, hundreds of years have been lost, and they've been archaeologists who dug them out and found them. And so I'm going to give you briefly three different things that substantiate the Bible as the Word of God. The first is the city of Nineveh. The second is the city of Babylon. And the third is the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, when you look at the city of Nineveh, Nineveh is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 10, verse 11. It states that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord, came to the land of Shinar, that's Babylonia, of Assyria, and there he built Nineveh. And Nineveh was occupied as early as 5000 B.C., and was a tremendously large city. And that we know that from the outline of the city walls where they found it now. It encompassed 1,800 acres in the size of the city. It had a population, according to Felix Jones, an archaeologist, a population of more than 175,000 people. And when Jonah came to the city of Nineveh, he says there were 120,000 who didn't know right from wrong. Zephaniah and Naaman, the two prophets, Zephaniah and Naaman, they've declared that Nineveh would pass away, and it did so 2,500 years B.C. And so Zephaniah says in the Zephaniah chapter 2, it's a desolation, a dry waste like a desert. Nahum chapter 3 and verse 7 says the same thing. So Nineveh, by the way, was located about 250 miles northwest of Baghdad in Iraq. And so this city was called Nineveh. It was declared by God's prophet that it was going to be destroyed. And in 1820, there was an exploration group went to Nineveh, and C.J. Rich, president of the British East India Company in Baghdad, located the site, and A.H. Leonard, an English archaeologist called the father of Assyriology, discovered the great palace of Sennacherib in 1847. And say, though, those are these people, and they say, oh, there never was such a place, and we couldn't find a sign of it at all until you come to 1820. And then, lo and behold, the city of Nineveh is there, just as God said that it was. Or you look at the city of Babylon. The ruins of this great city covers an area of 2,100 acres. Tremendously large city. It's located about 50 miles south of Baghdad. The city was surrounded by two mud brick walls, 21 feet thick, so that the top of the walls, two chariots could travel side by side. That's the strength of the walls of this huge city. It was a formidable city. It was a proud city. And to that great city, a prophecy was made by Isaiah in chapter 14, 1 to 23, and Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. And they said that the city would be destroyed. 2,100 acres, that large city, it's going to be destroyed, and they say it will never be rebuilt. And it has never been rebuilt. It has been found and excavated, and they've seen many parts of it, but they will never rebuild it, because God says it'll never be rebuilt. That's what the Bible says. And long before, why they used to say, oh, that isn't true, can't be so. Well, the archaeologist has found this, and here it is, just like God said it was. That Bible, every time they find an archaeological site, a new site, it always verifies the Bible. It never contradicts the Bible. Because God wrote this, and God is accurate, and you can depend on it and count on it. You know, there's some other things that they found. For instance, the story of Abraham's rescue of Lot in Genesis 14. And the critics used to say the names of the kings listed there were fictitious because they had names listed in the Bibles. And lo and behold, they say you can't find, they never exist as people like that. And archaeologists have found indications now of the names of these kings. They were there just like the Bible said. Or that they had a tribe called the Hittites. And the critics used to say there never was ever a Hittite ever existed. They said that's fiction. It's some dream of the Bible. It's something they made up, but there was no such place. But in 1911 and 1912, Professor Hugo Winkler of Berlin discovered some 10,000 clay tablets on the site of a capital was the Hittite Empire. And the existence of the Hittite Empire is now proven beyond a doubt. So then the critics try to find something else. They get beat down every time they turn around. And one that was interesting to me is because I'm a farm boy. I'm a sheep herder, really used to sheep herd. Herd sheep, proud of it. And I used to read about Solomon, and they said that they had thousands of horses, and they had teams, and many horses had 1,000 horses. And the critics used to say, there, it's impossible for that king to have that many horses. And there's no place where it ever kept them. And there's no place that ever showed that they were there. And then they came to Megiddo. And the archaeologists find five chariot cities. And excavations have uncovered thousands of stalls for Solomon's horses and chariots. Every time they find something, it always substantiates God's word, his holy word. But I want to spend time on the Dead Sea Scrolls, because the Dead Sea Scrolls are so important. And this is something exactly that took place in 1947. They didn't know a thing about them until 1947. So this is up to date. The Bible, many Bible scholars believe the Dead Sea Scrolls are the greatest discovery the archaeologist has ever made. Now you remember the original manuscripts for the Bible were made, and then copies were made of that copy. So they made copy and after copy, and they didn't have a copy machine or a computer. The scribes wrote them by hand, every jot and tittle, every period. And they made them and copied the previous copy and another copy and another copy. So the skeptics come and they say, well, my goodness sakes, after all of that recopying, there'll be lots of mistakes. And you can't tell if that's of anything like the original, because all of the copies were made and they lost the real meaning in the copying of this. Until the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947... I started preaching in 1944, and when I was preaching, that's the story they said. Well, you can't trust the Bible because it was made copy after copy after copy, and they lost everything, the real meaning, in all of those copies. And so what would we say? We say, listen, God says it's the Word of God, and it's the Word of God. That's good enough for me, but not the skeptic. Oh, no. He'd have to find fault. And so this is what happened. It happened in an area in Israel. And there were some Bedouin boys that they were caring for their goats, keeping their goats. And they were going to round them up to get them out. And sometimes these goats would go into the cave. And so the Bedouin boys, instead of going in there, they'd throw a rock in there and scare the goats back out. And this one time, a young man threw a rock in there, and he heard something break. And he went and got his friend, and they went together. And they went and looked, and they found that they were found huge clay, large clay jars containing rolls of leather and papyrus wrapped in cloths. They smuggled the items in then, and they took them to Israel. They took them from Jordan to Israel, and then they took them to an antique dealer in Bethlehem, and he gave them a little something for them. But he thought the Bethlehem dealer thought, oh, they must be worth something. So he got a Syrian scholar to look at, and the Syrian scholar thought, oh, these are something special. And so he took them into the monastery of St. Mark in Old Jerusalem. And then a little bit later, another Syrian scholar says, these look special. These have got to be special. And so they got the French Dominican institution there. And their study was always in archaeology. And they took those manuscripts that they had found and those caves, and they looked at those caves, and they studied them then and took them to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and the study of ancient forms, and they studied those, and they found out in the Jerusalem, in the people that study those languages said, This may be one of the greatest finds ever made in Palestine. And he was right, because there were about 14 manuscripts in that cave. And what is so wonderful about them? Well, this is how they came to pass. In 140 BC, there are a group of people called the Essenes, E-S-S-N-E-S. And they left the city of Jerusalem, and they wanted to go to a separate place. And they wanted to do two things. They wanted to purify the priesthood, and they wanted to cling to the law of Moses and the prophets. That is, They wanted to make copies of these originals. And that's what they did. 200 years later, in 60 AD, the Romans got so sick and tired of the Jews rebelling, that they came and they struck down Jerusalem, and then they marched and took down Jericho, and they're going to subvert the whole country. And these Essenes lived just a little ways from Jericho, and so they could see that the Romans are coming. And the most precious thing they had was not silver and gold, but it was these precious copies of the Bible, of the Old Testament. And they wrapped them in cloths, and they put them in jars, and they hid them in caves, and they themselves ran and hid in caves so they wouldn't be put to death. But before the most precious thing they had was this wonderful Word of God, this Old Testament. And they put them in a place, the place they lived was called Qumran, and they put them in the caves of Qumran, and then they hid. And those were there 2,000 years in those caves. And when they found them, they were just in perfect condition because it's down by the Dead Sea and it's cool and it's dry. And those manuscripts were kept for 2,000 years. And so when they took it out, then they thought, well, we have to study these and see what we got here. And so here's the big thing. We found the original manuscripts of the Old Testament. So then the next in this Qumran cave. And so they said, now let's compare these scrolls that were written 2,000 years ago. Copies have been made ever since. Let's compare them with these originals. And let's see if they match. And you know what? The writers and the study of these, Dr. Gleason Archer, PhD from Harvard, with special training in archaeology and Egyptology and Semitic languages, says the two copies of Isaiah found in the caves, and by the way, they found all of the Old Testament except the book of Esther, but in the book of Isaiah, they found two full copies of the entire book of Isaiah. And Archer says, well, though they copied, they checked the originals with what they had on hand now. And he says it proved to be word for word identical with our standard Hebrew Bible in more than 95% of the text. And the 5% variation consisted chiefly of obvious slips of the pen and variations in spelling. William Barrows, in his book, The Dead Sea Scrolls, says, it is a matter of wonder that through something like 1,000 years, the text underwent so little alteration. And Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Moody Memorial Church, writes this. He says, in sum, the Dead Sea Scrolls confirms that what we hold in our hands is a reliable copy of the original documents. We can safely say that the Word of God has been preserved throughout the centuries so that he might know his will for us and his plan for the future. And so, my dear friends, take a look at the book, the Holy Word of God, because it is that wonderful Bible, and it is as accurate as it can possibly be. And we hold in our hands the Holy Word of God, the Bible. So what do we do with the Bible? Over and over. Now next week we're going to talk about science in the Bible and how that science proves exactly and fits in perfectly with the Bible. Over and over. And so we're telling you that there's only one book like that. There are many books, but there's only one book, and there are inspired books of hymns and things like that, but there is no book, though, except the Holy Bible that alone is the Word of the living God. And when you put your books in the library, you put all your books, but on one shelf all alone, you put the Bible. It's the Word of God, no question about it. So what does the Bible say? We need to teach it reverently. We need to prayerfully. We need to read it. And we need to see what it says. And what does it say? What it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's John 3, verse 36. The wrath of God abideth on him. And so we need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then people say, I don't know how. I don't know how to believe. Usually some man, and he's stubborn, and he says, I can't believe. I'd like to believe, but I can't. You know what the Bible says? God says he deals to every man a measure of faith. In other words, you can believe if you want to believe. So that's just a lame excuse. Now, what do you have to do? It says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do I call on his name? You say, I don't know how to pray. I don't have a prayer book. Give me something. What do I do? You just talk to Jesus. And you just tell Jesus, I've sinned against you. And he knows that. God knows that. But he wants us to confess it. And I'm a sinner. And I know no sinner can ever enter heaven. No sin can enter heaven. There's no sorrow or parting or sickness or anything in heaven. And so what do I do with my sin? And Jesus says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And Isaiah says, and come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll wash your sins away. And you say, oh my God, you don't know the sins I've committed. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. No, you're not. St. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. But he says, the blood of Jesus Christ takes away my sin. And God will save you if you just ask him to come into your heart. Your own words just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. And then you thank him for saving you. And I talked to a man not too long ago, and he prayed like that. And he'd never prayed in his life, and he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. And he said, thank the Lord, and he said, goodbye. Fine, that's fine. What's wrong with that? You don't have to say amen. Say goodbye. Just talk to him. He's standing at your heart's door, and he's asking to come in. And you have to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now, if you do that, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We will send you literature to get you started in the Christian life. And we'll give you this little booklet. We'll send this booklet that we got now. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Once you've accepted Jesus, you will never be lost again. Once you ask Jesus into your heart, you're a born-again believer, and you can have eternal life. You'll have eternal life. You'll never lose it. You write to us. We got it on the poster there. You on shortwave radio, just get box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Got a letter from Japan just the other day, and that's what he had on shortwave radio. You write to us and we'll send you the literature and we'll pray for you and you pray for us and together we'll honor Christ. Oh, get out the Bible, read the Bible, read the Gospel of John, then write to us and we'll write to you. Now I'm going to pray for you and going to pray for all of you that are shut in, all of you on beds of sickness, all of you that are lonely. Dear Jesus, I don't know who they are. I can't see them, but you can see them. You tell us that the very hairs of our head are numbered, not counted, but numbered. When we lose a hair, a number is missing. And you know exactly who they are and where they are at and what their problem is. And we ask you to comfort their heart as they trust in you. Help them to lean on you. Give all their weight on Jesus. and just know that you have promised you would never leave us or forsake us. I'll be with you to the end of the age, the end of the world, or the end of your time. And then I'll take you home, because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. May many come. Bless your people. Help us all now, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for being with us. Thank you for opening your door. Next week, we're going to look at the Bible again and how it deals with science, and it'll match just perfectly. In the meantime, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Just keep it on there, and you just write, and we'll answer. So God bless you. You know, the Lord loves you. God is not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. You come today. God loves you, and we love you. And by the grace of God, we'll be back next week. And wouldn't it be nice if you could tell some of your friends? Just say, just tune us in. See what you think of this bird, 94 years old. See what he's up to. And just see what he's got to say and let us know. God bless you. See you next week. Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.